Recently, my friend Larry bought a puppy, a beautiful black lab which his daughter Laura immediately scooped up into her arms, played with for 15 minutes, and promptly named Mo. On the surface of things, Mo seems like a great dog name. For me, it satisfies one of the most important criteria, which is that it doesn't sound too ridiculous when you're shouting it through the neighborhood at 5:30 in the morning after he's escaped from the yard, or that it fits seamlessly into a sentence like, "Mo, get your nose out of there." Also, Mo is a short name. This is very important, especially at those times when you need to call your dog quickly, like when you see him approaching a skunk. Sometimes the difference between a quick yell to Mo and a longer call to Aloysius Peabody III can be all that stands between a near miss and an evening of tomato juice showers. But in spite of all these advantages, there is one big drawback to the name Mo. You see, Mo is your basic playful puppy, and while he's learning the lay of the land in Larry's house, he's also hearing a lot of something that sounds almost like his name, the very important word, no. Now, if Mo is anything like my own dog, then he's probably learned his name partially by associations with nice things, like being called for dinner or a snack. However, the word no is usually not said in the happiest of situations, like when Mo discovers the fine flavor of Larry's shoes or decides that the kitchen floor is just as good a bathroom as the backyard. Unfortunately for Mo, dogs don't distinguish so well between the sounds of words like Mo and no. So imagine poor Mo's growing confusion. He thinks he hears his name, but maybe he's hearing a no. Does a biscuit await him, or is he about to be yelled at? Poor Mo may be developing name issues that need to be addressed by a pet therapist. So, what should go into the design of a good dog name? On the one hand, it should be short. But on the other hand, a good dog name shouldn't be too easily confused with other common messages that you might want your dog to be able to receive. These are precisely the sorts of considerations that arise when mathematicians and engineers create techniques for transmitting information over the internet or sending data from satellites through deep space. This is a mathematical subject of coding theory. In coding theory, we study techniques for transmitting information efficiently and reliably. On the one hand, we need to design messages that get to where they need to go quickly. But on the other hand, we need to be reasonably sure that we can understand the message when it arrives. These two goals actually are at odds with one another. Ultimately, the way that data is transmitted, whether it be over phone lines or through the airwaves, is as a sequence of zeros and ones. In most environments, as each zero or one is sent, there is some chance that a zero may be changed to a one, or vice versa. When this happens, we say that the message has been corrupted. Corruption can occur from faulty equipment like frayed wires, or natural disturbances like electrical storms. The static that you may sometimes hear on your phone line is a good example of this. One way to counteract the effects of corruption is by adding some kind of redundancy to the transmitted message. The most simple example of this idea is just repeating the intended message over and over again. For example, suppose I want to transmit the message 1 to you. Since there is some chance you may receive a 0, I instead transmit to you a sequence of several 1s. This is called the encoding of my message. You then receive the transmitted message, and unless we were very unlucky, most of the digits are uncorrupted, so the majority of them are probably 1s. So you decode the received message by counting the number of 1s and 0s and then deciding that if more 1s were received than 0s, that I had intended to send you a 1. By adding this sort of redundancy, we make the simple messages of 0 and 1 easier to distinguish. But of course, the more redundancy I add, the longer it takes to transmit the message. It's a pretty delicate balancing act. So, I'm hoping that if Larry gets another dog, he'll keep all this in mind. At any rate, it won't be an issue. After all, how could a guy named Larry, with one dog named Mo, not name his next dog Curly? From Hanover, New Hampshire, this is Dan Rockmore.